Have you ever told a lie?
Yes.
All right, thanks for your honesty. You're not lying to me, are you? No, thanks for your honesty. Because if they said, no, I've never told a lie, I would have said, well, are you telling me the truth? Right? Not you. You've never told a lie? Good for you. Don't start. You're telling me the truth now, aren't you? Are you telling me the truth? No. Well, that's the problem. When you start to lie, you just never know when you can believe somebody. And of course, that's a huge issue in our society today, is that you never know what to believe or who to believe, because you're not sure if somebody is actually telling you the truth or not. Today we're going to be looking at the commandment, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. We've been going through the commandments, and I would invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 15, and you'll find that on page 1821 in your pew Bible. If you don't have a Bible of your own, grab the one in the pew rack. I think you'll find it much easier to follow along today if you've got that open before you, and then if you have your outline there. As we look at this commandment, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Well, let's begin with asking God to be our guide and teacher today. Heavenly Father, this is your word. And Father, you have revealed your word through your prophets and apostles, those who wrote this down. And so, Lord, that words that we have, we know are true. They're from you. And Lord, use your word to teach us this morning, to guide us in your truth. For we know that our Lord Jesus Christ is the truth. And Lord, we want to focus on the truth that you've brought to us through your word. And so be our teacher today and help us to understand this commandment and how to apply it in our lives by the Holy Spirit whom you have given to each one of us who believe. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our catechism makes this observation about this commandment, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. It says, this means we should fear and love God so that we do not misrepresent, betray, lie about, or slander our neighbor, but defend them, speak well of them, and say the kindest things we can about all they do. Again, the catechism says, what is false testimony? I give false testimony when I speak unkindly and untruthfully about my neighbor in a court of law or in my daily life. Now, those of you who are my age remember the old Perry Mason movies. And when somebody got on the witness stand, they swore to tell what? The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. You know that. Yes. And this commandment tells us that we are to say the truth. But we're going to find out that it's not just speaking truth, but it's speaking truth in love that is required of us in this commandment. I give false testimony when I speak unkindly and untruthfully. And we can speak truthfully, but still speak unkindly to people, whether we're in a court of law and have sworn to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, or in our daily life. And we're going to find out that that means not only the words we speak verbally, but in this day and age, it also covers what we text, or what we post, or what we send through Instagram, or what we tweet. And if you don't know what all those things are, don't worry. You probably never will find out about it. But this day and age, there's something called trolling. And this is probably the way I think this commandment is broken most often in this age of internet and cell phones. And I had even looked this up. I'm going to read the definition of what trolling is. It used to mean to fish by trailing a baited line behind a boat. How many of you have been trolling? Fishermen, right? You have a little trolling motor and you go along at a slow speed and you leave a baited line out there and you hope that you catch something. But today, it means to make a deliberately offensive or provocative online post That means on the internet, whether on Facebook or on some other posting, with the aim of upsetting someone or eliciting an angry response from them. So it's a deliberate provocation, saying something you know is going to get their goat. There's no that there's going to get them upset, to get them angry. This is a common occurrence online today. If you ever post a comment about something, you probably have somebody coming after you, trolling you, saying, well, that was the most stupidest thing I've ever heard anybody say. And the idea is not even to advance truth or understanding or meaning, but it's just to hurl insults at one another. And that is not what God wants. So today we're going to look at this commandment from Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul is basically talking to people who have recently become Christians, who have lived in a pagan culture where the truth, much like today, was disregarded. It didn't matter what the truth really was. And when I say truth, I mean what corresponds to what actually is, corresponds to reality. But that's not how people understand truth today. In higher education today, truth is always put in air quotes and quotation marks because they don't really believe there is an absolute truth. Truth has become just your opinion or my opinion. What I believe is true or what you believe is true. But God says Jesus is the truth. The truth is not an opinion. The truth is a person. Because Jesus is the reality whom we must all deal with one way or another. A number of years ago, a young man wrote this book. And he was trying to speak truth in our culture, but using fiction to do that. And for him, there wasn't really a distinction between truth and fiction. And for much of our society today, we don't know what's truth or fiction. We don't know what's really real because we have rejected God as a society. And so we have no real foundation. It just becomes what you believe or what somebody else believes. But when we have God as our foundation, when we have Scripture as our foundation, we have the truth. We have what's really real, that God is the one who created our reality. And so he is the one that most genuinely corresponds with that reality, what's really true. And so if we want to know what's true, we need to turn to God's word. And now there are people that will tear down God's word and say it's just a bunch of fiction. But of course we know that that's not true. It's not true. So how do we do this? Well, let's take a look. In your handout, I've given you three verses that I have excerpted from this passage, and we're going to use those as our foundation about the truth and how we are to speak that truth. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And so this morning we want to first look at the power of words. Words are powerful, and words spoken hurtfully can hurt deeply. But words spoken truthfully in love have the power to heal, the power to lift up, the power to build up, the power to bring salvation even through the word of God. And so words have power. We find that in James chapter 3, verse 2. Let me just read this. We all stumble, James says, in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, well, he's a perfect person, able to keep his whole body in check. If we could just be perfect in our speech, the rest of it will follow along. But the fact is, we're not. And he goes on, he says, we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, and we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships for an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds,
They are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants it to go. So likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person and sets the whole course of his life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. Words have the power to destroy. They're like a fire, a forest fire that just indiscriminately can destroy beautiful forests and woodlands and everything in them. We've seen the destructive force of forest fires sweep across the West this past summer. And it says that's what our tongue can be like, our words can be like that. They can destroy not only our lives, but lives around us. He says all kinds of animals, birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. How true. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. This should not be. Our words are important, and they're important to God. In this passage, we are told to put off falsehood. That's in verse 25. Put off falsehood, it says, and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of this one body. When we're part of the church of Jesus Christ, we need to be speaking truthfully. And this goes not just for speaking to other Christians and believers, but to unbelievers as well, because we are to have a witness to them. Put off falsehood. Why should we do that? Because there's seven things the Bible says that God hates that are an abomination to him. And among those seven things, two of them have to do with our speech. And remember, when I talk about speech, I'm not just saying verbal speech. It's also what we text, what we post, what we email to somebody. It is all of our communication in this day and age, unlike the biblical day and age where they had very few options of speech. Today we have many. And so it has to do with every bit of communication. So we are to put off falsehood because among the seven things that God hates are a lying tongue and a false witness who utters lies. Instead, it says our mouth, my mouth will speak truth. So God hates a lying tongue. And we don't want to do what God hates, do we? No. In fact, where does all lying come from? Remember when I talked about murder? We said that all murder ends up coming from the evil one, from the devil himself, who is the father of all murder. He is the originator of all murder. In the same way, Jesus in that same passage tells us that the devil is also a liar and the father of lies. We don't want to be doing the devil's work. And so our mouth will speak truth, as it says in Proverbs 8:7. When my kids were growing up, if we caught them in a lie, it says, okay, what does Proverbs 8:7 say? Okay, yeah, my mouth will speak truth. Always use God's word to help discipline your kids, to help correct your kids. It's a powerful thing because they can argue with what you say, but they don't really want to argue with what God says. My mouth will speak truth. Is your mouth speaking truth? That's the first thing. We have to put off falsehood. But the next thing it tells us to do is to speak truthfully. It says, put off falsehood in verse 25, but speak truthfully to your neighbor. Speak truthfully. And to do that, we got to first of all know the truth that we are told earlier in this chapter in verse 21. That Jesus is the truth, that all truth comes from God. And so, first of all, we can't really speak the truth until we really know Jesus Christ, who is the truth. We know part of the truth, we can know some of the truth, but unless we know the truth, the person of Jesus Christ, we're not going to tend to speak the truth. We're going to speak out of our own human perspectives, out of our own human flesh, out of our own fallen human nature. So put off that falsehood, literally take off the things that aren't of Christ and put on
the Lord Jesus Christ, so we can begin to speak truthfully. But next it tells us not just to speak truthfully, but to speak so as to build up and to give grace. Listen to this passage from Ephesians 4:29 from the New American Standard Version. It says, "Let no unwholesome word," the King James Version says, "let no corrupt communication come out of your mouths," or out of your thumbs, however it may be. You know, we communicate a lot more with our thumbs today than with our mouths sometimes. "But let no unwholesome word, no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification." That means for building up. To edify means to build up according to the need, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Are our words tearing people down, or are they building people up? Our words should always focus on the need of the other person. Is this building them up? Is it helping them to become all that God meant them to be, with a vision of who they should be in Jesus Christ, as I read earlier in this service? That is, till we all attain to maturity, to the full stature, the measure of Jesus Christ. We want people to become more and more like Jesus. Is this building people up so that we become more like Jesus? And in doing so, we become more like Jesus. Jesus was always all about building people up, bringing people to know the truth, and then to follow the truth, and then to live out that truth. He was always about building up, right? Not tearing down. Do your words build up, or do they tear people down? There is power in words. We want to be putting off falsehood, speaking truthfully, speaking to build up and to give grace. Grace is showing favor to another. The grace that God gives us for salvation is God giving us his favor so that we can believe in Jesus Christ, be forgiven of our sins, and have eternal life. Grace is getting something we don't deserve. And when we speak gracefully to somebody else, even though they may be trolling us, even if they may be speaking abusively to us, how do we respond? It says we don't respond abusively, but in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says respond with a blessing. Bless them. I think I told you about driving with my mom. And I was driving, and somebody did something really stupid. I said, "What is that idiot doing?" And mom says, "Just bless him. Don't speak abusively." I'm often calling people idiots out there driving. Every once in a while, I call myself an idiot because I find myself doing something. "Oh, that guy probably thinks I'm an idiot for what I just did. I didn't see him coming this way, and I pulled it in front of him." Or I do things that aren't very good driving sometimes. I try not to. But no, we're supposed to speak with words that build up, that give a blessing. So my mom said, "Just bless him. Lord, bless him. Help him to be a better driver. I know he needs that." No, give him a heartfelt blessing. "Lord, bless that person. Whatever distraction they might have right now, bless them so that they can be fully cognizant of driving on the road right now. But more than that, bless them with your love and peace and joy. Bless them so they'll know Jesus Christ." Always give a blessing. We can always bless and not curse, the Bible says. So speak to build up and to give grace to those who listen. But then it says, the final degree of how we speak to other people is we speak the truth in love. We speak the truth in love. That may be sometimes we have to say things that are truthful and may be hurtful to that person, because they may need to know that what they're doing isn't right. They may need to know that what they're believing is not true. And sometimes it's hard to speak the truth in love. But if it's in love, our greatest desire is for the best for that other person. And sometimes the words that we speak are difficult, tough love. But the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 16:14, to do everything in love. What does that mean? We're to love like God loves us. We're not perfect people. We make a lot of mistakes. God is far more patient with us than we are with other people. But God has loved us with an everlasting love.
He has loved us in spite of the fact that we're sinners, that we were enemies of him when Christ died for us. That's the kind of love that we're to give to other people. Even when we feel they don't deserve it, we still speak his truth in love. We must always speak the truth, but we must do it in love. And if we can't, what does your mom used to tell you? If you can't say anything nice, what? Don't say anything at all, right? Sometimes we may need just to hold our tongue, but we can always speak with a blessing. We can always bless them to know and to love Jesus Christ. This is not part of our nature, as the book of James tells us. It's not something we'll do naturally. It's something that only happens in us supernaturally. Yes, we can be really nice to people. And I have a reputation of being nice. I had people say, well, yeah, you're just saying that because you're just a nice person, you know, meaning that I'm not really saying what I'm really thinking, but I'm just saying what's nice. You see, to really speak the truth in love, we have to have both the truth, the one who is truth, living in us. And we must have the one who is love, God is love, abiding in us. And then it flows, that truth and love flows out of our lives like it did Jesus. It flows out of our lives because it's not us. It's God living in us. It's Jesus living in us. So you shall not bear false witness, false testimony against your neighbor isn't just saying lies about your neighbor, isn't just gossiping about your neighbor. It is everything we communicate to our fellow human beings. Is it tearing down? Is it provoking them to anger, as the definition of trolling is? Or is it building them up? Is it giving them grace? Are they hurtful words or are they helpful words? Our favorite translation of that, Ephesians 4:32, is, are your words helpful or hurtful? Do not speak harmful words to one another, but only what is helpful for building others up. And so we want to give grace, the grace that we've received through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us first of all here not just to hear the law, you shall not, but help us to hear the gospel, what you have done for us through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have died for us who are sinners. We've all sinned and fallen short of your glory. And Father, we sin by what we say and sometimes by what we don't say. We sin by tearing down instead of building up. Lord God, thank you that you came to die for us sinners. And if there's anyone here today that's never received Jesus Christ as their Savior, may they cry out to him right now. Just crying out from their heart, Lord Jesus, I believe that I am a sinner. I need you as my Savior. I believe that you died for me on a cross. I believe you rose again so that I can live with you one day in heaven. Now come into my heart and into my life as my Savior and Lord. And Father, the first word of truth you want to hear is that I'm a sinner and I need you as a Savior. Come and save me, Lord Jesus. Come forgive me, Lord Jesus. Having been forgiven, Lord, let us pass along the blessing you have given to us, the grace you have shown to us by giving grace to others, building them up by what we say. And Father, may we do this so that we may glorify you, our Father in heaven. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.